Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shemir Salashim class learning. We will begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Rabbanu Sha'olam, Yehi Ratzon B'fanecha, Rachum V'chanan, Shetizakeini Hayim V'chol Yom, Lishmar Pi U'Lishani Milashon Hara Rechilus, Ve'azarim L'daber Afilu Al Ish Yachid, V'kol Shekein Al Klal Yisrael, O Al Chelek Mehem, V'kol Shekein L'Yisrael, Amidosef Shal Kol Sh Baruch Hu, Ve'azarim L'daber Dibrei Sheker, Chanufa Machlokes Ka'as Gaiva, Ona astvarim, abanas panim leitzanus v'chol dibur aser v'zakeni shelo ledaber kim daver hatzarich li'inani gufi v'nafshi v'yukal masai v'dibur alishem shemayim. Amen. So today we're going to continue our learning about the topic of ona astvarim, which is one of the things, verbal oppression, verbal abuse, which is one of the topics that we just said in the tefillah. We ask Hashem to save us that we should not speak ona astvarim. We are learning lezeich nishmason li'ilui nishmaso tzvi gershem ben yol v'chana alav hashalem, and also li'ilui and lezeich nishmas zev wolf ben yeshaya, may both nishamas have alios in the schos of the Torah we will share this morning, and with your gracious permission, schos besuras tovos and continued refuah for bracha v'gaya v'srachel gita. So let us continue our learning. Okay, so we are continuing in the Sefer Kunchos Chovos HaShmira, the lessons of the Chofetz Chaim. So we are in the Perek Yud Dalet, and Perek Yud Dalet is the Pratim Halachos V'Hanhagos B'Inyan Asar Dvarim. So this is the details on the Halachos and the behaviors in the 10 matters of forbidden speech. So if you happen to have the Sefer on page 172, but by now I think you know that if you don't have the Sefer, I expound upon everything and read and translate and bring you additional sources. So last time we spoke about Nivol Peh, interesting and beautiful insight from Rabbi Zev Lev, how we understand the Nevela as related to Nivol Peh. So we're on page 172. I'm not going to review or say again what we learned last time. However, we're talking about Onas Dvarim, while the Chofetz Chaim is speaking about the category of Onas Dvarim, which a person is forbidden to express to somebody else, which is verbal abuse or verbal oppression. So Im Hayagir, I'm just reviewing a last sentence in the middle of paragraph 1 on page 172. Im Hayagir, Torah. Let's say a person's a convert and he came to learn Torah. Al Yomorlo, you cannot say to him, Pesh Achon Noveus Utrevo, Shkatsim Uramasim, Valomal Torah, Shanemar Pihagvera, the mouth that ate Novelos and Trefos, unproperly slaughtered animals and carcasses, and creeping things, and flying things, and bugs. You come to learn Torah that was given from the mouth of Hashem. However, the parenthesis says, Ve'im Gam Ata Ochal Noveus Utrevo. If now he continues to neveus and trevos, Oshar Lavin Hamufarsim Bisrael Isur, or the other low tases that are well known amongst Israel that they are not that they're forbidden, you're not allowed to do those things. Uvadai Gam Hu Yodem, he said, if he knows that he's doing inappropriate or not even inappropriate. If the person knows that his actions are asur min haTorah and he continues to do them v'over b'mezid, so he willingly and willfully does these things to be a sinner, not that he's a tinuk shenishba, a person who is captive, not that he thinks he's doing something appropriate. If he knows it's asur and he is over willingly and willfully, hu yotze mikla misacha, so then he has removed himself from the category of someone of your nation, ve'ein bo isur onas dvarim u'kedila kame, and there is no isur in that case of onas. In other words, this person willfully removes himself from the klal. He knows that he is sinning. So then the iser av lo sono ish es amiso, a man may not oppress his fellow, does not apply. He's not considered part of amiso, am. He's not im Yisrael. So he's removed himself from the category of am Yisrael, and therefore onas dvarim does not apply. Now we go to the oh. I wanted to start with a Rambam last time. Okay, before we start the next paragraph, which is new, I just want to show you a Rambam that I came across. I saw a reference to in a different source, and I went to look it up. And it is very relevant to our shir. So could you see my screen? Yes, okay, very good. Okay, so this is the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. Okay, and this is very interesting. This is Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Dalet Halacha Hei. Okay, so we're in Hilchos Teshuvah, as you could see up here, Perek Dalet Halacha Hei. So the final halacha in this... Perek tells you, the Rambam writes, Umehen chamisha dvarim ha'osa osam yimasheich acharem tamid v'kashim heim lifrosh mehen. So the Rambam tells you that these following five matters, when a person does them, he will be drawn after them consistently, and it'll be very, very hard to separate from them. So the more you do these five things, the more you're drawn after these five things, the harder it is to separate yourself from them. And what are they? Lefichach tzarich adam lizaher mehen. Therefore, you have to be very on guard. You have to be very careful from these things. Shema yidbak behen, because what happens when you start to be involved with them, you're going to cling to them. Vehen kulan deos raus ad meod. And they are very bad character traits, very, very much. So what do you have to stay away from? Ve'eluhein, look at this. And what are they? Rechilos. Lashon hara, one is rechilos, two is lashon hara. Ubal chema, this is like anger. Chema is hot. Cham, the son of Noah, from the lashon hot, he acted inappropriately because he couldn't control his passions, and therefore he took advantage of his father. Ubal chema, someone who is like hot-blooded, who acts inappropriately because of that. Ubal machshava ra, and someone who has bad thoughts, who's preoccupied with bad thoughts. V'hamischaber l'rasha, and someone who joins with a rasha. Why is that bad? Mipnei shehu lo made me masav. Because what's going to happen is you're going to learn from his bad ways of wickedness. The hein yersham in beliba, and it'll make a big impression in your heart. It's interesting. One of my children recently was speaking to somebody who told them some things that were anti-Torah. And this child came to me very upset, practically in tears, saying, could mommy give me mussar so those words don't affect me? And that's extremely interesting, because that's what the Rambam writes here, that if you are in the environment or involved in rechilos or lashon hara, or you're a hot-blooded person, or you're constantly preoccupied with inappropriate bad thoughts, and you connect to a rasha, it's bad. Why? So first of all, obviously, why am I bringing this to you? Because the two first categories deal with inyanei lashon, specifically shmiras lashon. And the Rambam teaches you that if you stick to rechilos and lashon hara, and if you become a person who is a baal rechilos and a baal lashon hara, it's very hard to draw away from them. Therefore, you have to be, he's a hair mehen. You have to be very on guard, because once you cling to them, it's a big problem. So, mischaber l'rasha, someone who connects to rasha, what's the problem here? Mipnei shehu lo made me masav, v'hein yersham b'libo, it will make an impression in your heart. So you have to be extremely careful, the things that we hear, the things that we listen to, the people that we stick to, maybe it's a podcast that you listen to online, you have to be extremely careful, because those ideals will make an impression. That's just how it is to be a human being. You're going to be affected. We see this by Lot, actually. Fascinating Dvar Torah from Rabbi Shmuel Golden. Rabbi Shmuel Golden used to be one of the heads of the RCA, Rabbinic Council of America. He has a beautiful set of Svarim and Chumash called Unlocking the Torah Text. Him and his wife, Sheikh, moved to Eretz Yisrael. They made Aliyah a couple of years ago. So Rabbi Shmuel Golden points out about Lot. There's a very subtle change in the Lashon of Torah when it comes to Lot's descent. He started off as the nephew of Abram, so he had to be like a good guy, and he didn't die in Haran or in Ur Kasdim, and he goes with Avram and they journey together to Eretz Canaan. What happens to Lot? The first time we see Lot, when Avram Avinu tells him, we have to split ways. We cannot be fighting. Oh, talking about Machlokas and Meriva. Avram says, we better split up because our shepherds are fighting and we cannot have this anymore between us. So Lot lifts his eyes and he sees, it's in chapter 13, Perikud Gemel, Lachacha, all the plain of the Jordan, and he chooses to dwell in Sodom. And the Pasuk says, Vayahal ad Sodom. Lot tented in Tol Sodom as Amir. Where exactly was he living? What's Vayahal Ad Sodom? Where was Lot? The next time we meet him, a parak later, in Parak Yudalid, it's when he's captured in the war, because he was living in Sodom, and Sodom was captured in the war, and that means Lot was captured as well. And the fugitive comes, and he tells Avram Me'ivri, Kinishba Achiv, that his brother was captured, Velo Yoshev Bisodom. First, Lot was sitting ad Sodom, vayahal, which is like very temporary. He's in a tent ad Sodom. What's ad Sodom? In Tol Sodom, on the border of Sodom, looking into Sodom. Perek Yud Dalid, v'hu yoshev bistom. He's now sitting in Sodom. Perek Yud Tes, when the angels come, v'lo yoshev bisha'ar Sodom. What's Bashar Saddam, says Rashi. That day, also a yom, minu shofet al-Kalir, that day he was appointed the chief justice, the head of the Supreme Court. So he begins ad Saddam. He's just checking things out. He's just tenting on the outskirts of Saddam. And then he's in Saddam, perikadalad, by the war. And then finally, at the apex of being a fully integrated citizen in Saddam, he is sitting at the gates. It was the most prominent people who sat at the gates. When Boaz marries Ruth, it's at the gates of the city. When Avram purchases the Ma'aras HaMechpelah, the Chol Ba'eshar Iro, the gates in the ancient times, where if you've ever been to any excavations, you understand what it means. They sat in the gates of the city. So what happened, said Rav Shmuel Goldin, Lo was swayed by Sodom, but he knew it was wrong. So he thought, Vayahal Ad, it's really beautiful there, Kikula Mashka, it's all watered, it's gorgeous land. I'll just sit at the border. I won't be affected. There are wicked people there. 13:13. Oh, they're so bad. Rashi and Unka say they're wicked and sinful with their bodies and money. Lord said, I'm only going to sit ad Sodom. I'm going to take advantage of the beauty. I will not be influenced. I'm not going to go in. The fugitive comes and he tells Avram Ivri, Kinishba Achiv, Vehu Yoshiv Bistom. Guess what? He went from being odd on the border. I'm just looking in. Now I'm instum. And finally, he was appointed the Supreme Court Justice, Velo Yoshiv Bishar Saddam. So Shmuel Goldin says, first of all, look at the beauty of Torah. You shouldn't dismiss the nuances in Torah and the Lashon HaTorah. And Rav Shmuel Goldin points out that one who thinks he can connect to wickedness but not be influenced is very, very mistaken. That's exactly what the Rambam is telling you in this halacha. Why? Because ha-mischaber l'rasha, one who, chaver, chibur, one who connects to rasha, mipnei shu lo mi mimasa v'heim nirsham mi'blibo. And this example with Lot, that Dvar Torah comes from Rav Shmuel Goldin. It's not my Dvar Torah. I'm talking the Torah text Bereishit. And that's exactly what the Rambam here writes. One who clings to rishos, you will learn from his ways and it will make an impression on your heart. I was at a simcha last week, Baruch Hashem. And I was sitting and learning chumash by the table, quietly, not bothering anyone, not talking to everybody, chumash with Rashi. So someone came over to sit there next to me. And so, of course, I closed the chumash. We were talking, a woman that I know. And we were talking about a certain person who does a certain service in the community. I said how happy I was. You were happy? I went there. She was the pushiest person I ever saw. I was so taken aback. I didn't even know what to do. She went on and on how much pushy. I said I had such a different experience. So positive. Oh my gosh. I was able to change the topic. The next conversation then, she started talking Lashon Hara about somebody else. That better you should have just left me alone at the table with my chumash and Rashi. It's a big problem. And the problem is that when you're involved in these things, Rechilas Lashon Hara, Baal Chema, Baal Machshava Ra, Amishchaber LaRasha, they make an impression in your heart. So my child came to me and said, give me mustard. Could you imagine? I said, why do you need mustard? The other person was saying things that were not Al Pi Torah. And the child said, I don't want it to affect my neshama. That's what the Rambam writes. Lo was ad vayahal ad Saddam. It's very temporary. He's in a tent just in Tol Saddam. Vu yoshev bistom. Velo yoshev bishar Saddam. Perik yotas pasuk af. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. Viro chisidim yeroah. One who hangs out with the fools, one who befriends the fools, he himself will become wicked. And we have always already explained this, how a person must act. Okay, so how much more so for someone who wants to be a chozer b'teshuva, a baal teshuva, says the Rambam. So kal v'chomer the baal teshuva. This is true for anybody, but someone who's looking to do teshuva, someone who's looking to repent, how much more so must he be aware of these things? And the first two were rechilas and lashon hara, which is why I brought this to you. I wanted to quote also from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says, I actually came across this quote months and months ago, and I saved it in an email to myself, so I'm finally sharing it today. So Rav Soloveitchik says as follows. It's actually based on a pasuk from Devarim. Sorry, I'm just moving my Svarim around. Actually based on a pasuk from Devarim. Okay, the pasuk says in Devarim, It's Kisei Tse Perchav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dal, just for your reference. Mo Tsa Sifa Secha Tishmer. The words, what emanates from your lips, you must guard. Va'asisa, and you should do. So what you say, you got to do. Kasher nadarta l'Hashem el-kech, nadav asher dibarta b'ficha. Like what you have vowed to Hashem, your God, if you make a nadava offering to Hashem, verbally a voluntary offering, you have to fulfill. So motzai, motzas v'secha tishmar. So Rabbi Salvechik, Rabbi Joseph G.B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal, says as follows. Okay, the skill of rhetoric is an ancient art, dating from the time of the Greeks. Now, I didn't choose this to say it specifically now because we're coming up to Hanukkah. I've just been waiting months and months to share this piece with you. And since we just saw the Rambam, I'm going to go here now. The modern world praises the golden tongue. The modern world praises the golden tongue. The pleasant voice and the ability of power of speech. The greatest statesmen are those who speak well. The most acclaimed rabbis are those who preach skillfully to the masses. There are classes on public speaking. There are voice trainers. There are people who help you learn how to speak. That doesn't mean I've never been to one. That's not what I meant. I just mean that they exist. Why? Because the modern world praises the golden tongue, the pleasant voice, and the ability of powerful speech. The greatest statesmen are those who speak well, and the most acclaimed rabbis are those who preach skillfully to the masses. But like any tool, when it's in the right hands, it's beautiful, and when it's in the wrong hands, it's the churban. And one of the best, Rachmana Litzlan, most horrific examples, when I say best, I don't mean in a positive way, but I don't know the exact word I'm looking for. A true illustration of this is one of the most powerful orators of the last century, Hitler, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. He was an extremely powerful orator who whipped the crowds into a frenzy. So that is why Mishlei tells us, Maves V'Chayim B'Yad HaLashon V'Oavei Yochel Pirya, because the Lashon is so powerful. But you can preach skillfully to the masses, L'Tova, for Chaim, and you could preach skillfully to the masses, Rachmana Litzlan, the Ra'an, for Mavas. However, says the Rav, the Rav quotes a pasuk that we say in our Yamim Nora'im davening, in the Tfilas Musaf, before we begin the supplications, and I want to show it to you, okay? The pasuk says in Mishlei 16:1, if you noticed, it's in your Machzor, and I'll just tell you, to me, personally, on the Yamim Noraim, this pasuk always is very powerful as a person who spends their whole week, days, evenings, weekends speaking. This pasuk speaks to me very profoundly. Could you see that I went to Mishlei, Perek Tazayin? La Adam ma'arche lev, ume Hashem ma'ana lashon. To man is the preparation of heart, but from God is the pleasantness of speech. And now we say it in the Musaf services, in the Silent Shemana Esrei, also in the Chazar Sashatz, and it's so powerful, because you could put all the thoughts together in your mind and in your heart, but you have to dive into God to give you the ability to express that. Sassisinli, did I say it right? Pleasantly and beautifully. So the Rav quotes this pasuk: the preparation of the heart are man's, but from God is the pleasantness and answer of the tongue. True feelings, says Rav Salavechik, and lofty ideas can spring from the tongue only when it's the tool of the heart. The tie that binds the heart and the tongue cannot be loosened. If the bond between heart and tongue is loosened, speech becomes a destructive force. For modern man, the connection between the innermost feelings and the speech has become undone. The preparations of the heart are detached from the answer of the tongue. We are detached from serious thought and genuine emotion. Today, says the Rav, the orator utilizes flowery language that he himself does not understand. He attracts a crowd who, through mass psychosis or hysteria, listens raptly, yelling and roaring their approval. When you think of modern man, so I gave you one example of one of the worst. Salvechik, in a different piece, calls Amalek man Satan, man Satan, man hyphen Satan. But even when you think of what this brings to mind is Rahman and Satan, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like concerts or performers, where the crowd is going hysterical. Does the singer even know what the words are saying? I mean, I don't listen to any of this, but what they say is spewing forth filth, and the crowd is hysterical, and everyone has rapt attention to this person or this performer, this singer, and there's mass psychosis or hysteria, and everyone listens raptly. They yell and they roar their approval. The cheap, superficial demagogue exploits his gift of rhetoric for evil ends. So this is when Mavis v'chaim b'yad ha'lashon v'ovel yochel p'riyav, Mavis v'chaim b'yad ha'lashon. So you have to daven to Hashem to help you connect the thoughts of your heart with what comes out of your mouth, and that it should always be l'shem shemayim and for chayim. The cheap, superficial demagogue exploits his gift of rhetoric for evil ends. One of the greatest dangers which threatens modern man is the lure of the tongue. One of the greatest dangers that threatens modern man is the lure of the tongue. So there's a lot of dangers that threaten modern man. So Avichai goes so far as to say is that one of the greatest dangers is the lure of the tongue. And we always have to make sure, of course, that we daven for the siyata d'shmaya, la'adam ma'arche lev u'mehashem ma'ana lashon, the Baruch Om should help us that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our mouth should be both appropriate, connected in service of God. Now we go back into the Sefer. I've once heard only twice Rabbi Shai Schechter say, you know, the whole shiur was like 60 minutes, let's say after 15 minutes, he says, okay, that's our introduction. So that was my introduction. So we're still talking about Onas Dvarim, okay? Im hayu yisurim ba'im alav. I'm in the second paragraph on page 172. If you don't have it, don't worry. You could have it. It's a beautiful sefer, but I'm going to read and translate and bring you other sources. Im hayu yisurim ba'im alav. Let's say you see a person, Rechmano Litzlan, and there are yisurim that come upon him. By the way, that's really everybody, because there's no such thing as there are no yisurim in life. It doesn't work like that. Im hayu yisurim ba'im alav. But if you see someone, yisurim come upon him. Osha hayu mekaber esbanav Rechmano Litzlan Hashem yirachem aleinu. Or you see someone who buries their children in their lifetime. Al yomer lo. You should not say to this person, Kederach she'amru lo chavir of Iyov. Iyov suffered terribly. He lost everything, his children, his business, his flocks. So what did Iyov's friend say to him? It's in Perek Dalet. Halo yir ascha kis lasecha. You know what? If I screen share, you're going to be able to see it easier. Right? So when Iyov was suffering and lost so much, he had a group of friends who came and they said to him, here we go. Could you see Iyov chapter 4? Yeah, Paul Spodok. Well, Paul Spodok, welcome back. It's nice to see you again in Shir. I hope you had a nice trip. I'm sure it was interesting. Sefer Iyov Perek Dalet, Vav through Zayin. So what did his friend say to him? Could you see? Yeah, you said yes, you could see. Okay. Halo yir ascha kis lasecha. They said to him, isn't it that your fear of God, your ascha, your fear of God, was your foolishness? A kasil is a foolish person. Your fear of God was your foolishness. In other words, it must be that your fear of God was insincere and incomplete. You were a fool in your fear of God. So if your fear of God wasn't complete or sincere, obviously these things befell upon you. Tikvascha vitom drachecha. So to your hope in God, and your complete heart, your faith, were not sincere. So he was suffering tzaras. So what do they say? Oh, you didn't have enough Yerushalayim. It must be. You didn't have enough hope. Kaveh Hashem chazak v'amitzibach. But Kaveh Hashem, you didn't have enough. It must be. You weren't the ish tam yoshev ohalib. Tikvascha v'tam drachacha. Your hope and the purity of your heart, it was just not enough. Zacharna, please remember. Mihu naki avad. Have you ever heard of anyone who is clean, i.e. pure, who has lost so many things? It must be. You are not pure. You are not clean. Excuse me. The Eifo Yesharim Nich Chachadu. Have you ever heard of the Yesharim, those who were upright, who were perished? So what did his friend say to him? Your Amuna, your Yira, your Tamimas, your Tikva. It was all incomplete. Because have you ever seen anyone pure? Have you ever seen anyone upright who suffered? So the Chavetz Chaim is saying that if Yesharim come upon him, or God forbid, he buries his children, Rechmana Litzlan, you're not going to be menachem him and say, excuse me, you should not go to be menachem like Yev's friends and say, you know, It must be Taka. You didn't have enough Yerushalayim, because by Avram, by the Akedah, Hashem says, Ata yodati ki ari Elokim ata v'lo chasachas binchas yechid chamimeni. Now I know you're God offering, so I didn't take your child. So you must not have enough Yerushalayim. Otherwise, these Yisurim wouldn't be followed. You should not say that. You should not say that. Al yomerlo. So, you know, we think, oh my God, who would ever say such a thing? But Rahman al-Litzan, sometimes in a moment when we forgot ourselves, we don't always say appropriate things to somebody. Im hayu chamare mevakshim tvua mimenu. You know, I still remember, I may have told you this. I still remember, this goes back so many years ago. There are a number of years before our first and second child. Can I know her? And I remember, it was before we lived in Five Towns, I'm going back like over two decades. And we invited another family for a barbecue dinner. So I asked her, they had a number of small children, you know, what do the kids eat? Hamburgers, hot dogs, how many? She said, oh, you still count because you only have one child. When you have multiple children, you just put on the grill, you don't count. It's over two decades. I still remember. And it's still painful. Now, obviously, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted me to hear. But you shouldn't think what the Chafetz Chaim is writing, and he's actually quoting the Gemara, is so far-fetched. And this doesn't happen. Oh, it must be you do that because you don't have so many children yet. You only have one, so you're still counting. But when you have a few, you're not going to count anymore. So you have to be very careful not to be Rahman al-San on the giving end of such comments. It falls under the category, halachic category, lav, de'oraisa, of anas tvarim. Im hayu chamari mevakshim tvua mimenu. So let's say you have donkey drivers, right? So today it would be like if someone asks you, where should they fill up their car with gas? And you send them on a wild goat chase, goose chase, what's it called? I've used that expression for a long time. A wild goose chase, the gas station was there. Make a right, make a left, make a right, third right, you're going to find the gas station. You know there's no gas station there. Okay, so that was the days before Waze, where you could always find it, obviously. But someone says, where's the gas station? And their phone died, and they don't have, and you give them bad directions. So in the olden days, it was donkey drivers. If donkey drivers come and they say, you know, where could we get grain to feed our animals? Lo yomer l'chu etza ploni. So you shouldn't say, oh, got a Mr. Ploni in town. So who mocher tevua? He will sell grain and produce for your animals. V'yodeyabo shelo machar la'olam. And you know he never sold those things forever. So you just sent this person a wild goose chase. That is onas dvarim. I would also say it's lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. But again, this is the category of onas dvarim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af lo yisla enav al hamikach b'sha'a she'en lo damim. That falls in the category of onas dvarim. He should not cast his eyes upon an item to purchase at a time when he does not have money. So that's also asr. So these are very concrete lavin and halachos of what you may not do that fall under the category of onas dvarim. So you walk into the store and you see a beautiful sweater and you know that never in your life have you been able to afford anything in the store. Now this isn't talking about Nordstrom or Nord and Taylor or I don't know, Bloomingdale's, okay? That's not what we mean. A small shop, and the person owns it, a Jew owns it, and he's not one of the huge chains, and the employees behind the counter could care less in those big chains if you buy something or not something, unless they're on commission. But you go into this small little boutique store, and you know you can't afford anything, and you start browsing, and you ask, how much is this, and how much is this? And you don't have the money to buy it. So that is under the category of onas dvarim. Rabbi Yehuda says, af lo yisla einav al mikach, you may not cast your eyes upon an item for purchase, b'sha'a she'en lo damim, at the time that he does not have funds to buy. So when I was learning through this and preparing this shir, I'm going back a few halachos. So that was on casting your eyes and inquiring about something that you don't have the money for. The halacha before that was you can tell someone, oh, you could go get grain for your animals at such and such location, and you know that that person never sold grain for his animals in his life. That's also an onas dvarim. The halacha before that was if you shouldn't befall a person or Rachman Litzan, he buries his children, you shouldn't say, oh, wow, you know, you didn't have enough Yerushalayim. So this reminded me of a story That is the way a person should use his words properly, and imo anochi betzara, as opposed to onas tvarim. So I don't know if anybody has heard of a Rav Gustman. Rav Gustman was a mamish agaon, Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman. He was actually the youngest dayan on the Vilna Basin. He was extremely close to Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski and Rav Shimon Shkop. He learned in Grodno. And he was like one of the hidden gedolim of the last generation, if you will. He survived Churban Europa, then he went to America, then he went to Eretz Yisrael. I'm also reading the biography right now. I bought it a few years ago and I never read it. I don't know why. It was on my shelf. Why? Because I have so many other things. Rav Gustman, okay? It's art scroll. It's an art scroll biography. It's short. It's not like some of the other art scroll biographies. He's extremely fascinating. He was the youngest dying on the Vilna Basin before the war, extremely close to Chaim Isaac Grudzinski. At one of the Knisio, when he walked in, he was a young man. Rav Chaim Isaac stood up for him. And then the Chofetz Chaim stood up. And Rav Gustman said he never had a Yetzer Hara for Kavod his entire life. So he said, after the Chofetz Chaim, Zchus Yagen Elein, who say for learning, stands up for you, there's no desire for Kavod anywhere in the world, because there is no Kavod. And he was really one of the hidden Gedolim of the last generation. Amazing. He became a Rosh Hashiva in New York and then Yerushalayim. He was extremely close to the Gedolim of Europe before the war. So I'm just going to quote, this is the story of his son during the war. Right? Rav Gustman had an only son, Meir, whom he called Meirka. He was the apple of Rav Gustman's eye, a boy as sweet and beautiful as anyone can imagine. When the child was 4 years old, during an Aktion, how do you know how you actually pronounce it? A-K-T-I-O-N, and you all know that word from reading a Holocaust work. When he was 4 years old, during an Aktion against the Jewish children of the Vilna ghetto, the SS found the hiding place Rav Gustman had hastily made for his Meirka. Rav Gustman held the little boy in his arms to protect him, but he could not shield the child from the Nazis. The Nazis beat the boys Rav Gustman held him until blood flowed all over his father's body and his face was no longer recognizable. When the Nazis were convinced the boy was dead, they pushed Rav Gustman and the dead son into a pile of horse manure. Rav Gustman washed and buried his precious Meirka's body himself. He then exchanged the boy's shoes for bread for his starving wife and daughter. Usually, whatever food he managed to obtain, and that he had not reserved for Chaim Isaac's widow, he was able to locate Rav Chaim Isaac's elderly widow in the Vilna ghetto, and he took care of her as well. Usually, he would divide all the food with Rav Chaim Isaac's widow. Then he would give the largest portion after to his daughter, the next largest portion to his wife, and he took the smallest portion for himself. But this time, as he tried to consume the portion of bread, he found himself unable to do so. He felt he was consuming his son's own flesh. As it is written in the Torah's curses in Vayikra, Bechukosa, you will eat the flesh of your sons and your daughters. V'achaltem basar b'neichem v'noseichem. He told his family he could not eat the bread without explaining why, and he gave the extra portion to his daughter. So, maybe you are familiar with this. I'm going to h.com. Where am I? I gotta move this so I can find the source. Can you see that I'm on h website? The Rabbi and the Professor by Rabbi Ari Kahn. This was written in April 2006. It's a very famous story. Many years ago, okay, you could follow along with me or you could listen. When I was a relatively young yeshiva student, I had the opportunity to study with one of the greatest rabbis of the previous generation. His name, Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman. He was one of the greatest rabbanim of the 20th century, and he was certainly the greatest unknown rabbi. He fastidiously avoided the limelight, and he was unfamiliar to the general public. His meteoric rise from child prodigy to the exalted position of the religious judge of the rabbinic court of Vilna, Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski, when he was only 20 years old, was the stuff of legend. Many years later, I heard Rav Gustman's own modest version of the events leading to his appointment as the dayan of Vilna. There was a singular, brilliant insight which he shared with his fellow students, which was later repeated to the visiting Rav Chaim Isaac, who invited the young student to repeat the same insight the following day to him in Vilna. unbeknownst to Rav Gussman, in a sense, he was being interviewed. He clinched the argument in a complex case that had been debated amongst the judges in Rav Chaim Eiser's court, and he allowed a woman to remarry. Interestingly, one of the judges of the case in question, Rabbi Meir Bassin, who was also an Adam Gadol, made inquiries into this young Ilui, a shidduch was made with Rabbi Meir Bassin's daughter Sarah and Rav Gussman. Okay. He had a long, productive career. On the outskirts of Vilna could have been anticipated, Jewish life was obliterated in World War II. Rav Gussman escaped, but not unscathed. He hid among corpses, caves, and a pig pen, and he survived. He was a living link to the Jewish world destroyed by the Nazis. He was the head of a small yeshiva in the Rechavia section of Jerusalem. He taught a small group of loyal students 6 days a week. So this is very famous. But Thursdays at noon, the study hall would fill to capacity. It was rabbis, intellectuals, religious court judges, a Supreme Court justice, and various professors would come for the high-level Talmud shir that offered a taste of a world that was destroyed. When Rav Gussman gave shir, Vilna was once again alive and vibrant. So it's very well known that this was a day a week, professors, mathematicians, judges, working men, they came to this high-level Gemara shir. One of the regular participants was a professor at Hebrew University, Professor Rabbi Yisrael Amen. Once a promising yeshiva student, he pursued a career, but he made his weekly participation in Rav Gussman's shir part of his schedule. The year was 1982. Once again, Israel was at war in Lebanon. Soldiers were mobilized, reserve units activated. Among those called up was a soldier in Miluim Reserve, a university student who made his living as a high school teacher, Shlomo Alman. Professor Alman subsequently won the Nobel Prize in Math a few years ago. On the eve of the 19th of Sivan, in particularly fierce combat, Professor Alman's son, Shlomo, fell in battle. If I recall, he was married with a young wife, and I believe one child and another on the way. Rav Gussman mobilized the yeshiva. All of the students joined him in performing the mitzvah of Kfir Sameis, burying the dead. At the cemetery, Rav Gussman was agitated. He surveyed the rows of graves of the young men, soldiers who died defending land. I'll tell you that Professor Amundsen is buried on Har Herzl. When we went 2.5 years ago in the summer, I mentioned it many times, we took a tour with a tour guide of Har Herzl, not the Herzl Museum, Har Herzl, the Kfar. And we went to Professor Amundsen's grave, Shama. And there are rows and rows and rows and rows. It's a mountain filled, Rahman Hatzan, with kfarim of young men. On the way back from the cemetery, Rav Gussman turned to another passenger in the car and he said, they're all holy. Even the non-religious soldiers, Rav Gussman said, every single one of them. He then turned to the driver and he said, take me to Professor Alman's home. The family had just returned from the cemetery and would now begin the week of Shiva, mourning for their son, brother, husband, and father. Oh yeah, here we go. Shlomo was married. Shlomo was married and he had one child. His widow, Shlomit, gave birth to their second daughter shortly after he was killed. Rav Gussman entered the Shiva house and he asked to sit next to Professor Alman. Professor Alman said, Rabbi, I so appreciate you coming to the cemetery, but now you must return to the yeshiva. Rav Gussman spoke first in Yiddish, and then in Ivrit, so everyone assembled would understand. I am sure you don't know this, said Rav Gussman, but I had a son named Meir. He was a beautiful child. He was taken from my arms and Meir was executed. I escaped. I bartered my child's shoes so we would have food, but I was never able to eat that food. I gave it away. My Meir is a kadosh, he is holy. He and all the 6 million others who perished. And then Rav Gussman said to the father in mourning, I will tell you what is transpiring now in the world of truth in Gan Eden. My Meir is welcoming your Shlomo into the minyan and saying, I died because I am a Jew and I wasn't able to save anyone else, but you, Shlomo, you died defending the Jewish people on Eretz Yisrael. My Meir is a Kadosh, but your Shlomo is a Shliach Tzibur in the heavenly minyan. Rav Gussman continued, I never had the opportunity to sit Shiva for my mayor. Let me sit here with you a little longer. Professor Ammon replied, Rabbi, I thought I could never be comforted. But Rabbi Nechamtani, you have comforted me. Rav Gustman found solace in his students, his surviving daughter, his grandchildren, and every Jewish child. By the way, it says this in the Art School biography as well. During every year on Yom Yerushalayim, they watch the parade of dancing children. And they ask him, it says this in the Art School biography, that how could he watch and enjoy this parade, which supported a hashkafa that many in the yeshiva world do not support, meaning Medinat Yisrael. So the answer in the story is a little different, but the answer here is the same. We who saw a generation of children killed will take pleasure in a generation of children who sing and dance in the streets. A student once implored Rav Gustman to share his memories of the ghetto and the war more publicly, more frequently. They asked him to tell about his son and about the son's shoes, to which Rav Gustman replied, I can't, but I think about those shoes every day of my life. I see them every night before I go to sleep. He passed away on the 28th of Sivan 5751. It says in the biography, 30,000 people attended the Levaya. He was buried on Har HaZeisim. So when I was learning in the Sefer, by the way, you want to know something cool? There's someone from South Africa, I think, on the Zoom. Pretty amazing. That Zoom has opened up, and Baruch Hashem, the reach the Torah has. So that's what I was thinking. The epitome of Onas Dvarim would be to say, oh, you didn't have enough Yerushalayim. That's why this happened to you. The opposite of that is a personality such as Rav Gustman, Zechuso Yagen Aleinu, who Rachman al Nitzan had the exact right words to say. So if Yisurim come upon a person or someone bears your children, should not say Bekitzer, it must be your fault you didn't have enough Yerushalayim. If donkey drivers ask where you can get produce, you should not say, oh, go to so-and-so Plony. He sells, you know, food, animal feed, and you know he never sold animal feed in his life. Today you could say if someone asks you for the gas station because you need to keep the car going, it's Onas Dvarim, and I think to tell them something that is a lie. Rabbi Yehuda says, aflo yisla einav al mikach b'shash ein lo damim. And that is, going to continue that in depth next time, but Azar Hashem, if you can't afford something, you should not go and inquire after it and cast your eyes upon it, because that too is onas dvarim. So you see how, really, like Rav Soloveitchik says, we have to daven that the thoughts and intentions of our heart, what Mishlei says at Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Av, and Hashem should give expression and the answer of the tongue, how we have to make sure that there's a connect between our actions and our speech. If someone is sitting and learning, and the only thing you have to say is Lashon Hara, don't go have a seat next to them, okay? And these three halachas are extremely relevant. Someone's suffering, don't tell them it's their fault. Someone's looking for a gas station, don't mislead them. Don't have money to buy anything, don't go into a small boutique shop and ask how much it costs, because these three you will be over. Not much over the Isra Daraisa of Lo Sonu Ish Es Amiso. So, Hashem should give us a siyata deshmaya to implement these mitzvos, halachos, love, and sensitivity into our daily life. So may the neshama sotzvi, Gershon ben Yoav v'chana, and Zelwolf ben Yishai both merit aliyos in the schos of the Torah that we shared. I wish everybody a week of besoros tovos. Thank you so much to all kol tov. Okay? Thank you, everybody.